The Swan and The Hitchhiker by Roald Dahl. Copyright Burlington Books, 2001. The Swan. Ernie's parents gave him a .22 caliber rifle for his 15th birthday. It was 9:30 on Saturday morning. Ernie's father lay on the sofa. There was a sports program on TV.
"I want to see what you can shoot, boy," Ernie's father said. "Do something useful. Bring us a rabbit for supper."
"There are rabbits in the big field on the other side of the lake," Ernie said. "I often see them there. I'd get you too."
"On the way back, get me a bottle of beer," Ernie's father said.
"Give me the money then," said Ernie.
Ernie's father took a £1 coin out of his pocket.
"Don't try to steal the change like last time," he said. "I'll give you a beating if you do, even on your birthday."
"Don't worry," Ernie said.
"You'll probably want to practice with that gun so you can shoot birds," his father continued. "It's difficult to shoot little birds. If you can kill little birds, you can kill anything."
"But Albert," said his wife, "rabbits are okay, but it's not nice to shoot little birds."
"Shut your mouth," the father said. "Nobody asked for your opinion. Listen to me, son," he said to Ernie. "Don't let anyone see that gun in the street because you don't have a license. Hide it until you're in the country."
"Don't worry," Ernie said.
He took the gun and went out to try to kill something. He was a big, wild boy. He had small eyes like his father. He lived in a home where physical violence happened every day. Ernie was also a violent person. Most Saturday afternoons, he and a group of friends went to football matches to fight. He loved catching small boys after school and bending their arms behind their backs until it hurt. Then he ordered them to say insulting things about their own parents. They always said them. Then the victim ran home crying. Ernie's best friend was called Raymond. He lived near Ernie, and he was also a big boy for his age. Outside Raymond's house, Ernie put two fingers in his mouth and gave a long whistle. Raymond appeared.
"Look what I got for my birthday," Ernie said, showing the gun.
"Fantastic," said Raymond. "We can have some fun with that."
"Come on then," Ernie said. "We're going to the big field on the other side of the lake. We're going to shoot a rabbit."
The two boys started to walk. It was a Saturday morning in May, and the countryside was beautiful. Ernie and Raymond took turns with the gun, shooting at small birds. As they killed each bird, they tied it to a line of string. Raymond always had a lot of string and a knife in his jacket pocket. Soon they had five little birds on the line of string.
"We can eat these," Raymond said. "Our teacher told us that French and Italian people eat millions of them."
"All right, then," said Ernie. "Let's see how many we can get. Then we'll take them home and cook them with the rabbits."
Before long, they had 14 small dead birds on the line of string. Suddenly, Ernie stopped and pointed.
"Hey, look over there."
A small boy stood beside a tree. He was studying the branches of an old tree through a pair of binoculars.
"It's that pig Watson," Raymond said softly. "Watson is a horrid little imbecile."
Peter Watson was the enemy. Ernie and Raymond hated him because he was everything that they were not. He had a small, weak body. He was a brilliant pupil. He loved music and played the piano well. He was no good at sports. He was quiet and polite, and his clothes were always clean. His father did not drive a lorry or work in a factory. He worked in the bank.
"Hands up!"
shouted Ernie, pointing the gun. Peter Watson jumped.
"It's dangerous to point a gun at someone," he said. "We're giving the orders," Ernie said, "so put your hands up or I'll shoot you."
Peter Watson stood completely still. He looked at Raymond, then he looked at Ernie. He was not afraid, but he knew these two boys. "I must be careful," he thought, "or they'll hurt me."
"What do you want?" he asked.
"I want you to put your hands up," Ernie shouted at him. "Can't you understand English? I'll count to five, and if they're not up by then, I'll shoot. One, two, three."
Peter Watson put his hand slowly above his head. It was the only reasonable thing to do. Raymond grabbed the binoculars.
"What are these?" he said. "Are you watching us in secret?"
"Certainly not."
"Give him a beating," said Ernie. "He must not lie to us."
Peter Watson thought of trying to escape. He couldn't run because they could run faster and catch him. And if he shouted for help, there was no one to hear him. All he could do was to stay calm and try to talk to them. "I saw a green woodpecker in that tree," he said.
"Where is he?"
Ernie asked angrily, raising his gun.
"I'll shoot him."
"No, you won't," Peter said, looking at the string of little birds. "He flew out of the tree when you shouted. Woodpeckers are very timid."
"Why are you watching birds?" Raymond asked suspiciously. "Don't you have anything better to do?"
"It's fun watching birds," said Peter. "It's a lot more fun than shooting them."
"So you don't like us because we shoot birds, eh? Is that what you're saying?"
asked Ernie.
"I think it's stupid."
"You don't like anything we do you?" Raymond said. "Well, we don't like anything you do."
Peter's arms started to hurt. He decided to take a chance. Slowly, he put his arms down.
"Up! Put your hands up!" shouted Ernie. "I'm telling you for the last time, put your hands up or I'll shoot!"
"Then you will be a criminal," Peter said. "The police will come and send you to prison." Ernie stopped, unsure.
"You're asking for trouble, aren't you?"
Raymond said.
"I'm simply asking you to leave me alone," Peter said. "I'm not doing you any harm."
Raymond said something quietly in Ernie's ear. Ernie listened carefully. Then he said,
"I like it. It's a great idea."
Ernie put his gun down, grabbed Peter and threw him to the ground. Raymond took the string from his pocket and cut a piece of it. They forced Peter's arms out and tied his hands together.
"Now the legs," Raymond said.
Peter struggled and Raymond hit him in the stomach. He lay without moving. Next, they tied his ankles together with more string. Soon he was tied together like a chicken. He was completely powerless. Ernie picked up his gun, and then, with his other hand, he grabbed one of Peter's arms. Raymond grabbed the other arm, and together they began to pull the boy towards the railway line nearby. Peter kept completely quiet. Ernie and Raymond pulled their victim onto the railway line. Then they lifted him and put him down again between the two rails.
"You're mad," Peter said. "You can't do this."
"Who says we can't? We're trying to teach you not to be impertinent."
Raymond took the string from his pocket and they tied Peter to the railway lines so that it was impossible for him to escape. When they were finished, Peter Watson was almost immobile between the rails. The only part of his body that he could move was his head.
"There are trains every half an hour on this line. We won't have to wait long,"
Ernie laughed cruelly.
"This is murder," screamed Peter. "Please let me go. I'll be killed if a train comes."
"If you are killed," Ernie said, "it will be your own fault. If you lift your head up, like you're doing now, the train will kill you. If you keep it flat, you can survive. On the other hand, perhaps you can't, because I don't know how much room there is between the train and the rails. Do you know, Raymond?"
"Very little," said Raymond. "The trains are very close to the ground. It is probably enough for an ordinary person, but Mr. Watson has got an extra big head. I don't think the train will kill him, but his face is going to get hurt. It isn't good to have a big head when a train is coming towards you."
"That's right,"
Ernie said. The two bigger boys sat down behind some trees. Ernie took a packet of cigarettes from his pocket, and they both started to smoke. Peter Watson lay between the rails, unable to do anything. He knew that they were not going to free him. He tried to stay calm and think. The highest part of him was his head, and the highest part of his head was his nose. He calculated that his nose was about 10 centimetres above the ground. He began to move his head from side to side, pushing the earth below it and making a small hole. In a few minutes, he estimated that his head was now an extra 5 centimetres lower. He waited for the train to come. He concentrated on pushing his body into the earth.
"How are you, rat face?" Ernie called. "What's it like waiting to be killed?"
He decided not to answer. He started to play a game to try to forget the danger. He tried to find strange faces in the clouds. In one place he found a man with a beard. In another, an ugly old woman with a long chin. He watched a little plane fly across the sky. Then, suddenly, he heard a strange vibrating sound coming from the rails on each side.
"That's a train," he told himself.
The noise got louder and louder. Then he saw the train. At first it was only a small point, but the point got bigger and bigger until it became the front of a train. Peter pushed his head into the small hole in the earth. He shut his eyes and tried to push his body into the earth. The train went over him like an explosion. It sounded like a gunshot inside his head. Peter felt that a screaming monster was eating him. Then it was over. The train was past. Peter opened his eyes and saw the blue sky and the clouds above him. It was over, and he was still alive.
"It missed him," said a voice. "What a pity," said another voice.
He looked to the side and saw the two big boys standing over him. They untied his feet, but not his hands. Peter stood up.
"You're still a prisoner," Ernie said. "What about the rabbits?" Raymond asked. "I thought we came here to try and shoot a few rabbits." "There is a lot of time for that," Ernie answered. "We can push the little pig into the lake on the way."
"You had your fun," Peter Watson said. "Why don't you leave me alone now?"
"Because you're a prisoner," Ernie said. "But you're not an ordinary prisoner. You're a spy. Do you know what we do to spies when we catch them? We shoot them."
Peter didn't say any more after that. He decided it was better not to resist. He knew that they were capable of hurting him seriously. He often heard stories of the terrible, violent things that they did. He decided to wait until they got bored and went to shoot rabbits. The two larger boys held Peter's arms and they walked with him across the next field towards the lake. Peter's hands were tied in front of him. Ernie carried the gun and Raymond carried Peter's binoculars. They came to the lake, and there they stopped.
"Now then," Ernie said to Raymond, "you take his arms, I'll take his legs, and we'll throw him into the mud. What do you think of that?"
"I like it," Raymond said.
"What do you think, pig?"
"I can't stop you, can I?"
Peter said, trying to keep his voice calm.
"I have one last question for you," he said. "Why can't you try to hurt somebody your own size?"
The moment he said it, he knew it was a mistake. He saw Ernie's face become red, and there was a dangerous look in his small black eyes. Fortunately, Raymond attracted Ernie's attention.
"Hey, look at that bird swimming on the lake over there," he shouted, pointing. "Let's shoot him."
It was a wild duck.
"I'll shoot him," Ernie cried.
He took his hand from Peter's arm and lifted the gun to his shoulder.
"This is a bird sanctuary," said Peter. "Nobody shoots birds here. It's strictly prohibited." "You're not serious, are you?" Ernie said, and he fired the gun.
The duck fell into the water.
"Go and get him," Ernie said to Peter. "Untie his hands, Raymond, and then he can bring us the birds after we shoot them."
Peter was angry because they killed the duck.
"I refuse," he said.
Ernie hit him hard. Peter didn't fall down, but a little blood began to run out of his nose.
"If you say no again," said Ernie, "I promise that I will break all your teeth.
Do you understand?
Peter said nothing.
Answer me!
Ernie shouted.
Do you understand?
Yes, said Peter quietly. I understand. He walked into the water and got the duck. He brought the duck to the boys, and Raymond took it and tied string around its legs.
Now let's get more ducks, Ernie said.
He started to walk around the lake with his gun in his hand. Suddenly he stopped. He put a finger to his lips and said,
"Shh." Look over there, Ernie said quietly, pointing. Do you see what I see? Wow, cried Raymond. What a beauty.
Peter saw at once what they were looking at. It was a swan, a magnificent white swan, sitting on her nest like a great white lady of the lake.
How about that? Ernie said. That's better than a duck, isn't it? I can shoot the swan in the head.
Peter was now very angry. He walked to the two bigger boys.
You must not shoot that swan, he said, trying to keep his voice calm. Swans are the most protected birds in England. Nobody shoots a bird sitting on its nest, he continued.
He forgot that he must be careful.
Absolutely nobody. You can't do it.
Who says we can't?
Raymond asked with a horrible smile.
The whole country says it, Peter answered. The law says it, and the police say it, and everyone says it.
I don't say it,
Ernie said, and lifted his gun.
Don't! Screamed Peter. Please don't!
Crack. The bullet hit the swan in the middle of her elegant head. Ernie turned to Peter, who stood there, white-faced and rigid.
Now go and get her, he ordered.
Peter didn't move. Ernie stood very close to the smaller boy.
I'm telling you for the last time, he said, quiet and dangerous. Get her!
Tears ran down Peter's face as he slowly entered the water. He lifted the dead swan carefully in both hands. Underneath, in the centre of the nest, were two little baby swans.
Any eggs?
Ernie shouted.
No,
Peter answered. Nothing. He carried the dead swan to the side of the lake. He put it on the ground. Then he stood up and looked at the two bigger boys. His eyes were wet with tears and they were bright with anger.
That was a stupid act of vandalism. You're ignorant idiots. You should be dead and not the swan.
Ernie didn't hit him this time. He was a little surprised, but he quickly recovered.
So you like swans?
He said softly.
I like swans and I hate you,
Peter cried.
And you want this swan to be alive and not dead. Is that correct?
Continued Ernie.
That's a stupid question, Peter shouted.
He needs a beating, Raymond said.
Wait,
Ernie said.
This swan is going to fly in the sky again. That will make you happy, correct?
That's another stupid question, Peter cried. Who do you think you are?
I'm a magician, Ernie said. And to make you happy, I'm going to do a magic trick that will make this dead swan live again and fly in the sky.
Ernie took the dead swan and stretched out one of its enormous wings.
Give me your knife,
he said to Raymond. He cut the white wings from the swan's body. Raymond gave him the string, and Ernie cut off 6 pieces. He tied the pieces of string to the swan's wing. Then he said to Peter,
"Stretch out your arm."
"You're mad," Peter shouted. "You're completely mad."
Raymond put a fist in front of Peter's face. Peter knew he could not resist. He stretched out an arm. Ernie put the first wing on Peter's arm. When he finished, the white wing of the swan was tied to the boy's arm.
Now the other arm,
Raymond said, knowing what Ernie was doing.
He can't fly with only one wing, can he?
Ernie tied 6 more pieces of string to the second wing. Then he stood up.
Give me your other arm,
he said. Peter, feeling sick and ridiculous, stretched out his other arm. Ernie tied the wing to it.
Now the swan is alive again. I said that I can do magic tricks. Now the swan can fly in the sky.
He took his gun from the ground. Then he grabbed Peter and said,
walk!
They walked by the lake until they came to a tall tree.
And now the magic swan is going to fly,
Ernie announced.
So, Mr. Swan, climb to the top of this tree and fly.
Fantastic, cried Raymond.
Terrific! Now we're going to discover how intelligent this swan is. He's very intelligent at school. We all know that. He's the top of the class. But let's see how intelligent he is when he's at the top of the tree. Right, Mr. Swan?
Ernie said. He pushed Peter towards the tree. The tree was easy to climb. He began to climb. The enormous white wings made it difficult for him, but nothing in the world was going to stop him. Peter continued to climb until it was impossible to go higher. He stood on a big branch that stretched out over the lake. He stood there, resting after the climb. He looked down for the first time. He was very high, but he couldn't see the boys. They weren't at the bottom of the tree. He didn't know where they were.
All right, Mr. Swan, called Ernie. Now listen carefully.
Ernie and Raymond stood some distance from the tree where they had a clear view of the small boy at the top. Peter saw that the leaves of the tree did not give him any protection.
Listen carefully, Mr. Swan, shouted Ernie. Start walking along that branch until you're over the water. Then you can fly.
Peter didn't move. He was 15 metres above them now and they could not hurt him again. There was a long silence from below. The two distant figures in the field were completely still.
All right then, Mr. Swan, came Ernie's voice again. I'm going to count to 10, and if you're not flying, I'm going to shoot you with this gun. So fly, Mr. Swan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Peter stayed still. Nothing could make him move.
7, 8, 9, 10.
Peter saw the gun pointing at him. Then he heard the gun and the noise of the bullet. It was very frightening, but he didn't move.
That was your last chance, shouted Ernie. The next bullet is going to hit you.
Peter waited. He watched the two boys. Ernie pointed the gun again. This time he heard the shot and at the same moment the bullet hit him in the leg. There was no pain, but the force was terrible. He fell off the branch and tried to catch it with his hands. The small branch broke. Some people stop trying when they suffer a lot, but there are some people who never stop trying. They have a strong spirit. Peter Watson was this type of person. When he tried not to fall from the tree, he suddenly knew that he was going to win. He looked at the sky and he saw a light over the lake. The light was bright and beautiful. He jumped towards the light and opened his wings. 3 different people reported seeing an enormous white swan flying over the village that morning. Mrs. Watson, who was in the kitchen, looked out of the window and saw something enormous and white fall on the grass in her garden. She ran outside.
Oh, my darling! She cried, almost hysterical. My darling boy, what happened to you?
My leg hurts, Peter said, opening his eyes.
Then he fainted.
You're hurt,
cried Mrs. Watson, and she carried him inside. Quickly she phoned the doctor and the ambulance. She took a pair of scissors and began to cut the string that tied the 2 wings of the swan to her son's arms.